Right. All right. Turn to the book of Daniel with me. We're going to be in Daniel. And Barbara, you'll appreciate this. It's a Bible story. And you weren't here this morning. I was talking about you. You were back there. But it's not Jonah the whale. This is the three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So that's what we're going to talk about. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three faithful servants of God who faced a decision in their life. And we are coming to a generation now. We're talking about this in Miami Before Church. We're going to have to make some decisions. I mean, some real decisions for God. Whether we're going to stand or whether we're going to bow to whatever's coming our way. There's going to come a point where we're going to have to either obey God or obey man. And we better choose the Lord. Someone was sharing with me, and I will not, of course, share the name, but there, I got some news that just blew me away. And this is where we're going with our country, even here in the South. That's where we're going. But a local Baptist church here in the area has come out and publicly announced from the pulpit that they will recognize same-sex marriage. A local Baptist church here in this town. And it's not one I would think. It's not one that's been in trouble before. It's not one of the liberal ones that we hear about. This is a completely different one. I was like, wow. Now, this totally violates the Word of God. I mean, totally. I don't see how we think we can get by with this. And I'm telling you, you know, what we even talk about that subject, it's called a hate crime. You know, or hate language. You're hating. No, we're not. We're preaching. I mean, we're preaching. You know, we have a culture now, and I know especially older folks, I mean, even me, but especially the ones, you know, my parents' generation and older, would have never dreamed the day where this nation is legalizing pot. We're legalizing marijuana. We're legalizing it, recognizing it by state, and legalizing it as no harm. And for our young generation, the David Lee age and that, it's part of the culture. Not part of his culture, I hope, but it's part of the culture. It's not a big deal. It's weed, man. It's a plant, man. God made it, man. But we know what path that takes us on. Oh. So we're in a generation of legalizing drugs, recognizing same sex, you know, Steve and John or Mary and Sheila. We're recognizing this and we're saying it's okay because it's their right. Well, sure. Sure, it's your right to do drugs or get drunk or sleep. That's your right. But what does the Word of God say about it? We can't dodge what God says. We can't live apart from what God's Word says and be true to God. God says to follow my commandments, to obey me, to follow me. And there's nowhere where homosexuality, same-sex marriage, was ever in the Bible saying it'll be okay one day if it offends people. That's okay. Change it. I tell you who it offends. It offends God. That we're so blatant with it. And that's what I was talking about. It's not anymore where it's kept in secret. It's just blatant and open in your face. This is who I am. All the people that's come out lately publicly with this, and I'm getting to my message here, but all the people that's come out publicly, all the news people we've seen come out openly, you know, and the first NBA basketball player, the first player in the four major sports has come out openly gay. You know, that's what's going to happen now. It's going to be flooding out now. Everybody be coming out gay. You're going to have Bubba the linebacker. Hey, man, I'm funny, and I'm proud of it. You're going to see that happening. And for our young generation, our children, they're growing up with it. For Christian at college, I mean, she talked to me. Half her dorms come out gay. They've all just come out. Just part of culture. What's a big deal? That's why she's moving. off the hall. I mean, it's part of the culture. It's acceptable. It's okay. And I'm going to tell you something. People fuss at you and you call it out. And they talk about you and they call you names. But that's okay. Because Jesus says, just as I was persecuted, you will be too. And count it all joy when you're persecuted for my name's sake. So when we stand up for God, guess what? He's going to stand up for us. And he will give us the strength and boldness to stand and show his glory. So whatever happens, happens. But church is for me and my house and for this church, for Living Water Ministries, we will preach the Word of God. And we will stick to truth. And I told you before, we had some people at the fire department that came for a little bit, and they left because I brought up, this was back in the fire department, I brought up about homosexuality, and they didn't like it, and they left. They weren't gay, but they believe in it. And it offended them. So I'm like, oh, well, I'm glad you heard the word. At least you heard the word. And you know where I stand. You know where the word of God stands. Now this, talking about, telling all that to say this. Here's a nation that was worshiping false gods. They were an idolatry nation. And they had built this statue of gold, as we're going to read here. We're going to go through this pretty quickly because I want to get to the meat of it. But we're going to, they built a statue of gold. And the king said, when you hear the music and when it's worship time, so to speak, you bow down to this image. If you don't bow down, you go die. Now, I see us not too far from that generation we're talking about right here. I mean, there might not be a statue, but there's a system in place. And if you don't bow to the system or the culture, you're going to be in trouble. If you don't bow to this and bow to my law and bow to my rule, because what we're seeing now, church, we're seeing the laws of the land start to contradict the laws of God. We're seeing that happen. We're seeing the laws of the land start to contradict the laws of God. And so we got to make a decision who we stand for. Am I going to stand for God or am I going to obey man and be scared of what man says? So let's get into this. This is Daniel. Let me put my readers on. Daniel 3, beginning with verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth, therefore, 6 cubits. He set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs. They had sheriffs back in. Didn't know that, did you? And all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Do we not see an image being painted in our nation today? An image. Trying to get us all to convert to this new tolerance image. We might as well build a statue and call it tolerance. I'll bow to whatever they say I've got to accept. If I got to accept same sex, I will. Do you know Virginia now has passed, the first southern state, has, what happened? The judge overruled the law in place. The judge, that's our problem. We got people trying to be God. Instead of enforcing the Constitution and the laws, they're overriding it for their own benefit. A judge of Virginia is overriding the law now of same-sex marriage and has recognized it in Virginia, saying it can be recognized in Virginia, the first southern state. So we're going to see it coming, church. It'll be nationwide. I said that years ago. When the first state come out, I said it'll be nationwide in our lifetime. And it's on the way now. So we have this image set up called tolerance, called acceptance, called whatever you want to believe in, whatever you want to do, just do it. No regard to God. No morals, no law. If it feels good, do it. Sounds good, do it. Looks good, do it. Tastes good, eat it. Whatever it is, don't matter. We got a generation of people that are growing up thinking marriage doesn't mean anything anymore. That marriage is not holy. The Bible's clear that marriage is holy, ordained by God. And living with someone for 10 years is not the same thing as marriage. If it is, why haven't they got married? Hello? Really? I run a lot of people. I say, oh, that's your wife? No, it might as well be. You've been with her 10 years. No, it might as well not be. She's your live-in. I could say some dirty words, but I won't. She said, you know what? You knew. That's what I feel like saying. Nah, she said, you know what? You knew. That's what she is. There's something about this ring that means something. What it means is you're standing before God, and you're coming together in covenant with Him, saying, I take Melanie to be my wedded wife, to love and to honor and to cherish all of my days as long as I shall live. And then Melanie said, I take James in front of God, witnessing in front of God, God's ears hearing those vows. I take James as my husband, coming together to love and honor and obey him in all the things all of my days. And then we kiss the bride and we go out hand in hand, join. Now, if it's not that big a deal, why do people just don't do it? No dates are set. And church, I'm not trying to condemn. Here's what I've learned. I've been pastoring 12 years. I still ain't figured it out, but I've learned more than I did. I know more than I did. And you know what? I offend people that are too religious, and I offend them that's not religious enough. I'll offend the ones if I talk about sin, and I'll offend ones if I don't talk about sin. So I've learned this. I'm just going to be true to who I am and preach the Word of God. Because I'd rather somebody get offended if I talk about sin than not talk about sin. Because that's my commission as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel. So I'm just saying, And there have been many people that get upset when I bring this up. I understand that. But, church, there's too many people now that are tolerating things and accepting it and saying it's okay. Our daughter, especially Christian, she's old enough to understand everything, knows our stance, and she has her own moral standard and realizes that. That a guy has got to put a ring on her hand before she's going home with him. A ring on her hand. Honor the word of God, and he will honor you. I promise you. He will honor your marriage and honor your relationship if you will put God first. So we have a generation here that set it up idolatry. So here's all these rulers, kings, Come see what I've done. Verse 3, the princes, the governors. I'd already done that, hadn't I? Verse 4. Oh, no, verse 3. Where am I at? 3. Then the princes, the governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, all those people, they came and stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then, and Herod cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, commanded, people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of musical instruments, you shall fall down and worship the golden image then that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, I'm a little bit more worried about the real furnace, aren't you? I mean, that's what we should be thinking about. We should be worried about what happens after this. Sure, we can deny God here and hide from God and obey man and escape maybe mortal punishment, but we won't escape eternal punishment if we reject Christ. We won't escape it. If we deny him, there'll be a lot hotter furnace waiting on us than what Nebuchadnezzar could ever do to these three Hebrew children. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, now y'all have got tattletales, right? Here's a bunch of tattletales. Thou, O king, that made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of, you know, all that stuff, fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Here are three men that said, I refuse to bow at your God because it's not real. I refuse to bow because you tell me to. It's not real. We have a government in our land and leadership in our land that wants all of us to bow down. They want us to bow down and just worship them and depend on them and your gods of the universe. You can do anything for me. And we see a generation following that pattern of just following and biting hook sinker as man tries to build themselves up. Now, these three men stuck out. Imagine that. Here everybody else is bowed down. They're just standing there. I'm not bowing. I don't care what you say. I can't bow because I know better. See, I already know who the real God is. I already know who the truth is. Here's the thing. If we know God, if we really know who he is, we need to stand for him and not back down and not bow down, but trust God. I mean, it's easy to trust God when there's no danger or there's no, you know, accusations or no persecution. But, man, the persecution starts. We start questioning ourselves, don't we? I mean, think about it. All of a sudden, I preach Sunday morning on, just say I preach on homosexuality, for example, and half the church leaves. I lose half my congregation. Was I wrong in preaching it? No. I wasn't. And that's where I got to say, okay, do I want my folks back, and do I want the numbers back, and do I try to, you know, be tolerant and compromise, or do I just preach what God's Word says? And God's Word is clear on a lot of things that America's and people are doing that they shouldn't be doing. God's Word's clear on it. And so I've got a choice to make. Do I bow down? And just, you know, whatever you want to do is whatever you want to do. Now, y'all know me a long time. I'm not an accusing preacher. The Holy Spirit's job is to teach and to train and to raise up and to convict. My job I was thinking this morning, I was praying, I said, Lord, as I preach this word, I'm the pointer. And I began to picture a hunting dog out in the woods. Them old bird dogs. And they tree a squirrel, right? And what do? They go up there and they point. Woo, 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 woo. And they just point. So the hunter knows where to look. You know what my job as a minister is? Just to point to Jesus. That's my only job. It's not to condemn, not try. It's to point people to what God said. And then they can look at it for themselves and they can decide whether it's them or not. And that's all of our job as a Christian, truly, is to point people to Jesus. Just point them. Here's the cross. Here's Jesus. Read Psalm 23. Read Romans 8. You know, read Matthew 5. Read whatever. I just want to point you to something. And let God do the rest of it. Just read this. You know, I write Charles letters to, when he's in prison, I write him some letters. And, you know, a lot of times I'll put scripture on there. Read this chapter. Read this book. You know, read these few chapters here. Trying to point a specific direction for him that I think might help him where he's at. That's our only job. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew who God was, and they refused to bow. And now they've been caught, and somebody has told the king on them. So let's see if they change their mind or what they do here. Verse 13. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if it be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. In other words, that's fine. I'm not going to do anything to you. But if you worship not, see, he gave him a second chance. If you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I bet they could tell him what God it was. How stupid. How proud he must have been, this king, and arrogant. Who's going to deliver you out of my hand? Because I'm King Nebuchadnezzar. I won't go there. I'm King Nebuchadnezzar. And I am in charge. And I am the man. And you go do what I say or else. So what you going to do? I'm giving you boys a second chance. Will you bow or will you die? What's your decision? And I love, this is probably my favorite verse in this story. Verse 17, or 16. 16 and 17. I love these two verses. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What they're saying is, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to talk about it. Abednego, do we need to have a meeting? I don't. How about you, Shadrach? I'm good. How about you, Meshach? Do we need to have a little Three Stooges huddle here? You know how they come together, the little Three Stooges, you know, and get their little game plan. Do we need a huddle? Do we need a code 42 or a, you know, Omaha 65? What do we need here? I'm good. I'm good. I don't even have to think about it, King. Here's our answer. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Glory to God. He's going to deliver us whether we die or whether we live. We're out of your hand. Whether we go to heaven, we're out of it. Or whether we survive the fire, we've escaped it. In other words, what he was saying was, your fire can't burn us. Your oven can't cook us. Your enemy can't destroy us. Because we have a God that's alive and well, not a golden statue that cannot talk. We serve a resurrected God who says, I'm with you always to the end of the world. Through the fire and through the water and through the storm, I'm with you and I'm not going to leave you alone. So you can be delivered and he will take us out. You have no hold on us. You have no power over us. Man, if we'd rise up and believe that, church. We are God's seed, and we are God's people, and man has no power over the soul God has redeemed. We are his seed and his heritage forevermore, and we are going to see him one day and be changed forevermore. That's our promise, and nothing can ever hold that back. No law passed can change it, because they can come down and shut this church down. Sure they could. They can come close the doors and have armed guards and tanks sitting out there, not let anybody back in this church. They can close it down and take away my keys and sell the seats and rip off the steeple and tear down the building. If they want to do that, they can come in and do that. But the thing they can't do is take out of here what God has already done. I'm still a child of God. I may not be under a steeple, but I'm under the blood. I'm under the cross of Jesus. And they can't ever take that away, what God's given me. That's what they're scared of, because they realize this isn't what the church is. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of the Lord. We are, everywhere we go, we can set up a tent out in the middle of the wilderness and have the same kind of church. Might not be quite as comfortable, but we could have the same kind of church. I can still preach. Y'all can still sing and worship and pray and have a good time, because we are the church. And the church goes forward and the church goes on. They can burn every church in America down, but they can't burn out the Holy Spirit. They can't burn out the redemption blood work of Christ. They can't take away the seed that's been planted deep inside of us. God saving his children. They can't ever change that. So be bold and be strong, because they can't destroy the soul. What did Jesus say? Don't be afraid of those who destroy the body, but those who destroy the body and the soul. So what? We're persecuted. So what? We're talked about. So what? We are under a microscope. So what? We're attacked. We win. We win. Because we've already crossed the finish line because of Jesus, and we're saved. And we know the end of the story. We know what it says. I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. No more fear, no more tears, no more sorrows, and no more pain. We know that's our future. We know that's our place of promise. We know we're going to arrive there. We know that the Jordan right now is separating us from that place. But each one of us in due time will take a step across that Jordan and go into that place God has waiting on us. We win. And no law and no man and no fiery furnace can ever take that away. And these three boys knew it. They knew it. You want to kill us? Fine. Kill us. But we'll be out of your hand, because we'll be with God. It don't matter what you do to us. Man, if we could just have... But see, here's what's happened, church. Here's what's happened. We have compromised. I'm talking about the religious world, the Christian world here in America, has compromised so much that we don't want to stand. We think we don't have to stand. We just are part of the system. We just kind of drift off, and you know, we want to blend in. We don't want to be different. We don't want to stick out. Man, we should want to stick out. When you're in the middle of the dark, say you break down the side of the road, and you're in a country, it's pitch dark. There's not a street light, there's not nothing. You're in a pitch dark. And you have five flashlights in your car. You got a couple in the dash, maybe one in the back, a couple in the trunk, and you try them all out trying to find light. Don't you pray to God one of them lights up? Don't you want one to be different? Don't work. That's like that one. Don't work. Please let this one work. There's the light. We're the light. We're supposed to be different. People are supposed to go to Melly and say, you're just different. Her last job, she was different. Even though it was a Christian business, she was different. For most people that worked there, she was different. And people knew that. And I think it made people uncomfortable, to be honest. I think they loved her, and they knew her spirit, but it made them uncomfortable because they knew they couldn't quite be themselves around her because she was different. That's a good thing. Church, that's a good thing when they can be different. And, you know, I was talking to a guy at the funeral home for her aunt, and he teaches Sunday school, or did. I don't know if he still does, and he didn't know what I did for a living. We're just sitting there talking. He's talking about, you know, beer and drinking beer and doing this. And he said, I like going to the ball game. And at halftime, I'll go get me a couple beer. Da-da. About that time, he says, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. Oh, my God. And I sit there talking about drinking beers, and you're a pastor? I said, well, that's your deal. It ain't me drinking them. That's you drinking them. And a little bit later, he talked about how he taught Sunday school. And I threw in a kind of a cheap shot. I said, that's between the beers. You do that, right? He kind of started laughing and said, yeah, man, between the beers. But, you know, if he'd have known that, he would have talked about that if he'd known what I did before. You know, and you know, we're supposed to be a light that is different. And you know what? We should, church. We should point people to the Lord. And we should. You know, I know one time Melanie worked with somebody a few years ago, and they were, I think, using bad language. I kept apologizing to Melanie. I'm sorry. And I think she said, well, don't apologize to me. Apologize to God. That was a pretty deep statement. I mean, they ain't offending me. Talk to God. But we are supposed to stick out. And these three Hebrew children did stick out. And they made their decree and they made their stand. Now let's see what happened to them. I bet that king was mad, boy. Man, can you imagine going to our government and saying, I'm not going to do it? No, you can't have my gun. Mm-mm, you ain't taking my gun out of my house. Uh-uh. You can't have it. Cry like babies, don't they? Imagine standing up like that. Imagine the boldness they must have had to stood before that king, knowing they probably, in their mind, chances were, they're going to die. We'll die. But that's okay, because we're dying for a cause, the right cause, the cause of Christ. So let's see what he does. Verse 18. They're still talking here. It says, but if not be, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Boy, I bet he was. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He got mad, got pouty, probably got red-faced, angry. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the three guards that were going to throw them in were killed. They weren't even inside the fire yet. And it was so hot, they were killed. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, his wisdom, did not we cast three men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, not bound anymore. They were loose, walking, wasn't bound, gagged, and on their knees. They were loose and free and walking in the midst of the fire, and they had no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah! What was Nebuchadnezzar seeing? He was seeing the presence of God, an embodied appearance of God in some form, show up in the midst of their fire, letting him know, you going to try to kill my boys? Uh-uh. You going to try to say you're the true God? Uh-uh. I'm going to show you who God is. I'm in here. I'm with them, and they're coming back out. And you're going to see and know once and for all that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still the only true living God. Hallelujah. That's who we serve. That's the God we have. They were loosed. How'd they get loose? Man, they just were loosed. I think that's an amazing part, that they got loosed in that fire and there was no hurt to them. Now let's see how they come out of this thing. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants. Boy, he changed his tune, didn't he? You servants of the Most High God, come forth. Can you imagine? Before he was like, rah, 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 probably using cuss words and swearing, take these blank, 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 and throw them in a blank, and you will get your blank, 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 burnt, blank, 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 probably beat them out. If it's on TV, it'd be beeped out the whole time. Now, all of a sudden, boys, you Most High servants of the Holy God, please, are you okay? I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. He was scared out of his mind. He had never seen anything like that. Think about this. Let's visualize this. I mean, it's even hard to visualize. We've seen those pizza bake ovens, like at the Italian restaurants, right? They got the big old stone ovens, rock ovens. And they slide that big old door out, you know, and they put them two or three deep in there. Think about it. You see that flame burn in there? Think about that. Amanda's thrown in there, and Stacy's thrown in there, and we'll throw Brenda in there. So we got those three thrown in the oven. And the fire's going. And you know, I mean, they're getting done like a thin crust pizza. I mean, you know, they're getting baked. And you look in that oven, and there's Brenda, and there's Stacy, and there's Amanda, and they're walking around the oven. I wonder if they waved at the king. What's up, homie? You call this hot, man? I got me some suntan lotion on, buddy. I'm coming out the tan. You call this hot? Let me put my shades on. I mean, imagine seeing these three men in a fire. We know that should have, it killed the men outside the furnace. How much more inside the furnace? They shouldn't have survived a second. It should have been immediate annihilation. Immediate. And they're loose, and they're walking around. And he sees a fourth man in there. How'd he get in there? Because we didn't put him in there. He showed up. That's who our God is. He shows up in the middle of our storm. He says, come on out, boys. Let me bring you out. Let's talk about this thing. 26. Let's talk about this thing. Come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, all these important, dignified, intelligent people, saw these men. Now look at this. Upon their bodies, the fire had no power. The fire had no power because God stepped in and became their blanket to cover them up. No power. Nor was a hair of their head even singed. Think about that. That wasn't even a singed hair. A hair of their hair wasn't even touched. See, when God delivers, it's a full deliverance. There ain't no part-time where they got a few, you know, third-degree burns, but they're alive. No, God did it right. You're not going to smell like smoke. You're not going to have any harm on your body. I'm going to completely, wholly take care of you. You're going to come out as good as you went in, brand spanking new, without any evidence that you were ever even in the fire. That's what God does for us. So body wasn't hurt, hair wasn't singed, and I love this, nor the smell of fire had even passed on them. How many went to a gas station to pay for your gas? You kept getting the car, and your wife says, man, you smell like smoke. It's because you walked in the gas station, right? Just because you walked in there because somebody was smoking. They were in the middle of a fire with a door shut. Should have been annihilated. And they didn't even have the smell of smoke up on them. Because God does it right. He's a full deliverer, not a part-time deliverer. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God. Now he's giving their God praise. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. But that's advice for us. We need to worship our God. Not what the world said we should worship. Our God. You believe in Jesus, you keep believing in him. You don't change for nobody. You believe he rose from the dead? You believe in that. You believe he's coming back again? You believe in that. You believe in your God that shed his blood on Calvary. You believe in that God. That's who our God is. The world calls it old-fashioned. The world calls it stupid. The world calls it, how do you know that's the only way? The world calls it, it can't be that way. The world's trying to put all these different avenues. And Jesus himself plainly said that narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. You want to be destroyed, just follow the world. Follow the widest road, because that's where everybody's going. Follow the widest path and you will be destroyed. But narrow, smaller is that way where truth is found. We must make a stand and believe in our God and not any other. Don't care who says what. I love what Paul said. He said, if anybody come preaching any other gospel, even an angel come preaching, let them be accursed. That means let them be damned. Let them be eternally tormented. If they preach anything other than what you've heard me preach, Jesus, him crucified and resurrected. That's the gospel, and that's the message. And there's still so much controversy about that. And I'm sick, church. I know God has called me through all my mistakes and through all my failures and through all my weaknesses, through all the things I do wrong. I know one thing. I know God has called and ordained me to preach the gospel. I know that. And I really believe God's called me, because he don't make mistakes, and put me in this hour on purpose. In this hour of darkness. I mean, we are seeing in Statesville, little conservative Statesville, Baptist churches saying, we're going to recognize two men and two women. If you don't like it, that's just tough. We're in a very dark hour. And our children, they are reading books to our children right now in elementary school all across this country. It's a book called Me and My Two Mommies. And they're reading it in public classrooms indoctrinating our youth and trying to make the ones that have that situation feel accepted. I understand about feeling accepted. I understand nobody wants to be picked on or be bullied or be stick out. I understand that. But the best way to be accepted is to tell them about God and about His Word and let Jesus accept them and them accept Jesus. Man, that's the most important acceptance. We are in a dark generation that is just letting anything happen and anything go with absolutely no governing moral anymore. No governing moral. You can't watch anything without language or innuendos or messages. You can't watch anything anymore. I know it didn't just start today. I know that started years ago. I understand that, you know, Elvis Presley and the Beatles, even that generation brought a lot of negative things into our culture. I understand that. It's been a slow bowl as we accept more and more and more. We accept it. We consider Elvis Presley music clean today, don't we? I guess every one of you here would say, it's clean music. But it sure wasn't clean in the day, was it? They couldn't even air all of his body because of his gyrations. We have gone from that to Beyonce, to Miley Cyrus, to, are you kidding me, to all kinds of dancing that's so inappropriate. And you know what? The world loves it. The more Miley Cyrus is wild, the more tickets she sells. The weirder Lady Gaga is, the more stadiums she sells out. It's just how it is. People like sin. They like it. In my day, I grew up with Ozzy Osbourne in the 80s. Didn't like Ozzy Osbourne. That wasn't my kind of music. But I grew up in that generation. He bit a chicken's head off one time. Y'all know that story. Bit a live chicken's head off on stage. He probably was high as a kite. But bit a chicken's head off. Blood pouring down the stage. Remember the group Kiss? All painted up. Couldn't tell who was who. All painted up with makeup, you know, and wigs. Looked like ghosts or something, or zombies. They had that long tongue. Gene Simmons hung down from here to the floor. I want a party. But all night long. Anyway, they had a song about whatever. But here they are. All that stuff. So I know it's been a slow boil. It's accumulated through all these years. And you know what? They sell out stadiums. They become millionaires off America's tolerance. That's okay. And so what happens? Elvis Presley gets by with shaking. The Beatles get by with the long hair. Ozzy Osbourne gets by with the tight pants and eat the chicken. You know, and we just keep going up now to where the rap music, you can say anything. It's, you know, it's First Amendment, whatever. Try talking about Jesus, see what that First Amendment thing gets you. That's what I love. That's what's so twisted. Everybody hides behind First Amendment when it talks about what they want to talk about. But we talk about, I got a right to say I don't believe in homosexuality. Oh, hate crime. I believe Jesus Christ the only way. Oh, no, not tolerant. That's my First Amendment to speak what I want. I should be able to speak what I want. Especially in the church, because guess what? Separation of church and state, right? Supposed to be. But yet, 25% of IRS agents are auditing churches. They have a special division that just audits churches. You know why? Because they can't get none of their money. I love it. They get no money from the churches. We're 501c3. They get no money. So they think about, man, we're losing millions of dollars a year in nonprofit organizations. And they can't touch it. Thank goodness, that's exactly right. That day may come when they try to change it. It may very well come when they try to change it. And there's things that we can't control, but the one thing we can control is we stand up for God. And we say, no matter what comes, I'm going to be like these three Hebrew children. Whatever happens, I'm out of your hand. See, when Paul was in prison, he wrote the last epistle while he was in prison. He knew he was going to be executed. He wrote that last epistle in the New Testament, knowing he's going to die. And what was he doing? He said, my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. And there waiteth for me a crown of righteousness. Paul went out standing up for Christ, not worried about his death here on earth, but excited about his life yet to come. That's what he was excited about. We can face persecution and danger when we know God's got us. I mean, man, it's like a child and a parent. Me and my dad used to go grocery shopping. I was a little boy. He was the one that shopped, and we'd go on Saturday mornings, and I remember there'd be a few times I'd get lost on another aisle. You know, you're following along, and you know, I'd stop and look at something, or he would, and I'd go on, and I'd lose him. He'd only be one aisle over, but I would freak out. start screaming through the store. I'm probably such an embarrassment. Screaming through the store. Dad, dad, dad. Oh, there you are. You know, because dad's, you know, checking out which brand's cheaper. You know, I've done moved on. He's back there looking at Van Camps or Phillips Beans. I mean, which one's, you know, the cheaper one? Used to freak me out. But as long as I knew I saw dad, I was okay. Didn't matter. Man, there could have been somebody walking that old Winn-Dixie store with a gun. If I had been with dad, I'd been all right. I'm a dad. He'll take care of me. Because see, when you see the one you're with, you don't see the size of the danger. The one you're with is bigger than what the danger is. Like mom's story I told you last week, the peanut butter cookies she made me. You know, wind, lightning, and thunder. We sat in the hallway. We ate cookies. All of a sudden, I was focused on my mom's protection and not the storm's destruction. When we trust God that same way, we see the size of God and not the size of what we're battling. We're safe in his arms. Just trust him. He's going to make a way. He has made a way. And we have a future waiting on us that nothing can change. Hallelujah. Nothing can change. Our retirement is secure. I'm so proud of these three men that we have an example of to read about. How they stood for it. And it goes on to say in a couple of the verses that the king said that he didn't say the king converted or the king got saved, but it does say the king made a new decree that anybody that talked about their God would be put to death. And he went on to promote Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and promoted them up in position over the providences. So God delivered them, promoted them, and the whole nation saw who their God really was. I really believe the true churches in this generation, ones that are really preaching the truth of the gospel, I really believe you're going to see people flocking and coming for help. Do you know even Christians, I mean, even people that are searching realize they go in some places and realize that's not what I need to hear. That's not what I wanted to hear. That didn't do anything for me. I need something real. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the anointing of God. I need something that's going to shake me and change me. There's a lot of great speakers, church, but don't be spewed by fancy words. We see where that got us 8 years ago. Fancy words, smooth tongue, charismatic look. This, the Holy Spirit, is what breaks the yoke. Nothing else. Good words don't do nothing. But when the power of God comes into a room, when the power of God comes upon your flesh, when the power of God comes in your mouth, when the power of God rises up in your heart, you begin to see things change. Mountains begin to move and giants begin to fall. You see things happen. Walk in that power. Don't be ashamed of it and don't be afraid of it. Walk in it. I know it's not popular no more. People don't even use the word Holy Ghost anymore. You don't hear that no more. They don't talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. They don't talk about the anointing of God. It's like they're scared to because of what's going to happen if they let it in. We ought to be praying and begging for that. Show up, God. Holy Ghost, show up and do what you need in my life. Break my chains. Break my yoke. Break my addiction. Break my bondage. Cast out every demon don't belong there. We ought to be praying for that to happen. That's the only thing that's real. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. So, it's a beautiful story. I love it. Barbara, I know you've read it before. But hopefully you got a new insight or some, you know, encouraged by it again. Some of these stories are wonderful to recap and read. And do I believe that really happened, or do I believe that was a parable? Or was it a, what do they call it? Allegoric is the religious term people use. That's allegoric. Didn't really happen. It's as an example. Well, I don't believe it's allegoric. I believe it happened. I believe there were three men that said no. I believe this really happened. I believe they were thrown into a fire, and I believe God saved them. And I believe they came out unharmed. And that's why we have it in our history of this Word of God. It was important enough to record. It wasn't allegoric. It happened. I'm not the smartest, as I said, person. The smartest or the sharpest. Two in the shed. But I believe in this. I believe in this Word. Every bit of it. Hallelujah.